October 12, 1937. The prayers of one who lives in the divine volition are commands, and her acts are messengers between heaven and earth. For the soul who lives in the divine will, all things become will of God. I am at the mercy of the divine will. I feel its longing, its yearning of love, for it wants to make itself known, not to be feared, but to be loved and possessed, to let the creature be identified with it, and to say to her, "Let us live life together, so that whatever I do, you will do as well." I feel that my love gives me the need to live heart to heart, or rather, one single heart with you. Oh, please, do not deny me your company. I know that you lack many things to be able to live together with me, but do not fear. I will take care of everything. I will clothe you with my royal garments of light. I will arm you with my power. I will display my love to you, making the life and the love of my will flow within the inmost fibers of your being. If only you want it, all is done. I remained surprised, and I prayed that it would give me the grace to live of divine will, because I greatly feared myself. And my sweet Jesus, making me his short little visit, all goodness, told me, "My little daughter of my volition, why do you fear? In my will, there are no fears, but highest love, courage, and firmness. Once it has decided, it never moves. More so, since the soul who lives in it does not pray, but commands. And she herself can take, as the owner, whatever she wants. We place everything at her disposal, and this because all is sacred and holy in her. More so, since by living in our will, she will not want, nor will she ever take or command anything but what we ourselves want. Therefore, her commands delight us, make us joyful, and we ourselves say, 'Take, tell us, what else do you want?' The more you take, the more you make us happy. When the creature wants our will, all her acts are like many messengers between heaven and earth. They go up and down continuously, acting now as messengers of peace, now of love, now of glory. Sometimes they reach the point of even commanding the divine justice to stop, taking its just fury upon themselves. How much good do these messengers do? When we see them coming before our divine throne, we recognize ourselves in these acts, which, disguised by the human veils of the acts of the creatures, hide our own will. But it is always our will. And delighted, we say, 'What an art of love it has! It hides inside the acts of the creatures so as not to be recognized. But we recognize it anyway, and since it is ourselves loving, we let it do whatever it wills. Therefore, we call these acts our acts, and we recognize them as such, although the creature concurred in them, and with her acts, she has given our will the clothing with which to cover itself. Hence, she is the support on which my divine will can lean, and it delights in carrying out its life, making unheard-of prodigies, hiding within the creature, as though covering itself with her guises. More so, since the creation and all creatures received their origin from its fiat, and they live, grow, and are preserved in it. The fiat is actor and spectator of all their acts. They will carry out their lives in the fiat, and will fly to heaven in an act wanted by its will. So, everything belongs to it. All the rights are its own. No one can escape it. The only difference is that one who lives in it lives life together with it, knows it, is aware of what it does, delights it with her company, and forms its joy and the confirmation of what my will wants to do in her. On the other hand, one who does not live in it does not know it. She remains isolated and forms its continuous sorrow. After this, he added, with unspeakable tenderness of love, "My blessed daughter, how beautiful it is to live in my will. This creature keeps us always in feast. She knows nothing other than our will, and everything becomes will of God for her. Her suffering, divine will. Her joy, her heartbeat, breathing, and motion become divine will. Her steps, her works, feel the steps of my will and the sanctity of the works of my fiat. The food she takes, her sleep, the most natural things, become will of God for her. In whatever she sees, feels, and touches, she sees, feels, and touches the palpitating life of my will. My will keeps her so occupied and invested with itself that, jealous, it does not allow even the air not to be divine will. And just as for the creature everything is our will, so it is for us. We feel her in the whole of our divine being, in the heartbeat, and in the motion. And we can do nothing, nor do we want to do anything, without the creature who lives in our will. Our love is such that we make her flow within all our works, and together with us she maintains and participates in our creative and preserving act. So, she is together with us, doing what we do, and wanting what is wanted by us. Nor can we put her aside, since one is the will that we possess, one the love, one the act that we do. The living in our will is precisely this, to live always together, to do one single thing. And this was the need that our love felt, to have the company of the creature, to delight together, to keep her on our lap in order to make each other happy. And since the creature is small, we want to give her our will in order to have the occasion in each of her acts to give her our life, our act, our manners. Ours by nature, hers by grace. This is our joy and our greatest glory. Do you think it is trivial for us to give our being in such a way that the creature, unable to contain it because she is small, would give it back to us again, together with herself, and we in turn give ourselves again? It is a continuous giving of oneself to each other. And this makes such love and glory arise that we feel as though repaid by her for having given her life. Hence, each thing she does, without letting our will enter, is a tearing that we feel, a right that we feel is being taken away from us, a glory and a joy that we lose. Therefore, be attentive, and let everything become divine will for you. Furthermore, for each act the creature does in our divine volition, we redouble our love toward her. And this love invests her. It brings with it our sanctity, goodness, and wisdom. So she remains doubled in sanctity, in goodness, and in the knowledge of her Creator. And as we love her with doubled love, so does she love us with double love, and with double sanctity and goodness. Our love is an operative love, and as it departs from our Supreme Being in order to love the creature with doubled love, so does it give her the grace to love us with ever-growing love. Not to add something more to an act made so great by our will is impossible for us. We can say that these acts are the capturers of our love. They capture our sanctity and form their way to get to know who we are and how much we love her.